This morning, we are continuing a four-part series called Unbreakable, and we are talking about creating the conditions in our lives and in ourselves where we can stand against the storms. You know, remember last week we showed you that film clip of that little town in Florida that is not ready for when the storms come. The roofs need repairing, the foundations need fixing. They are not ready. And so we don't want to be like that, right? And so sometimes storms come, struggles come, just attacks from the enemy come, and we want to stand strong. We want to stand firm. But you know what? That doesn't just happen automatically, does it? I mean, remember we talked about how you don't sign up, to go in a bodybuilding competition, and then a week before the bodybuilding competition, decide to start working out. You know, it takes a while to build up to that place where you can go and stand on that stage and do this number, right? Is that how they do it? Am I doing it right? No? Eh? Okay. Eric, come show us how you do it, right? Hercules back there. Do that thing where you make your chest go boom, 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 boom. Right? I saw him walking around the other day. He had like a can of Coke between his pecs. I'm like, dude, that's awesome. So, little straw, right? last week we talked about uncomfortable conversations. last week we talked about how prayer is the ongoing foundation, right? Because we continue to pray. We don't just pray for a few days and all of a sudden we have this foundation poured. But prayer is this ongoing foundation of an unbreakable spirit. And that there is really nothing that will prepare you for storms like persistent, consistent prayer. In other words, it's something that we do every day or most days, right? Just like exercise. You exercise every day. Or most days, you know. Wendy, she works out 6 days a week. It's crazy. She's down there doing all sorts of workout stuff. I don't know what's going on. But you do it every day or most days. It's persistent. It's consistent prayer that builds this foundation in our lives for an unbreakable spirit. Today, in this talk about becoming unbreakable, I want to talk about the importance of studying Scripture. So don't tune me out. I just said studying Scripture, and I heard your thoughts go, click, Netflix. Don't tune me out. Think about this. Stay with me on this, studying Scripture. A few years ago, I worked for a company that it handled the health benefits for Verizon employees. And you know, Verizon's a massive company, right? And it's one of the biggest companies in our country. So I worked for a company that was outsourced to handle the medical benefits of Verizon employees. Y'all fall on me now? So Verizon employees, they're full-time employees, they get medical benefits, we were the company that got to do sort of like the customer service. We were on the phone with them. All day long, my job was to take phone calls from irate employees. That's it. No happy employees. Just irate, angry employees. They were angry about the health plan that they were placed in. And they would yell at me because all of a sudden they're in this plan where their deductibles are way too high. They yelled at me because the doctor they've been seeing all these years won't take their new insurance. They yelled at me because they didn't know why their insurance had even changed. And so, man, I tell you, January, February, March, those months were just brutal. The phone rang all day without a break. People just yelling at me. I went to the doctor. They wouldn't take my insurance. What's going on? Why is my deductible so high? I mean, just irate. They didn't know, you know, how it changed. And one day, I went to my supervisor because I was like, why do we have this job? You know, why are we in existence? You know, why are there so many angry, confused benefits recipients over at Verizon? And she explained to me so quickly, so succinctly, she said, every fall, all Verizon employees receive a letter. And It's a benefits manual. Does anybody get benefits manuals at their job? Okay, yeah, it's a benefits manual. And the benefits manual explains the plans that are available to them and how to keep their current plan. Y'all following me? Okay, how to keep, and that if they did nothing, they would be defaulted into the company indemnity plan, which wasn't very good. Okay, so y'all following me so far? Okay, and Verizon had to employ our team of over 200 people basically because the employees didn't read their manual, right? And they were all right. They wouldn't read their manual. They would get their manual every year, how to stay in your plan, how to elect a new plan, blah, 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 blah. They usually would just take the manual and go, okay, that'll be good to put in the fireplace later. And they didn't read it. And so in January, when they start going to the doctor, they start getting cold or flu or whatever, they go to the doctor and they discover, oh, what happened? They called to yell at me. Literally, our whole department could have been eliminated if people just read the manual. And I could have had a nicer job, okay? And so we talk about this phenomenon of neglecting to read the manual. It's not just Verizon, it's everywhere. Did you know that one out of every phone call into Subaru's service center is questions about things that are answered in the manual of the car? Do you ever get that? Yes, it's in the manual. And you're here asking for it. So yeah, it's because it's in the manual, but they're not reading it. Over half of all calls made to Compaq computers, the customer support line involve how-to questions that are answered in the manual. And so it's this sort of phenomenon. As Christians, we're fortunate because God has blessed us with a manual. Anybody want to tell me what the name of that manual is? Yeah, thank you. All right. You just graduated second grade Sunday school, okay? It's in the manual, and the Bible tells us how to succeed in relationships, how to walk in joy, how to walk in peace, how to handle our finances, how to raise our children. You know, the Bible even talks about how to treat our pets. Go figure. It's in there. Look it up, okay? It's the most amazing piece of literature ever written, and it was co-written, it was inspired by God himself. Yet, less than half of all churchgoers ever read the Bible more than once a month. Isn't that crazy? And one out of four churchgoers never read the Bible at all. They never read the manual, right? And we hold in our hands this inspired manuscript. And it gives us the knowledge to help us live unbreakable. But we tend to end up more like the Verizon employees, don't we? We freak out when things aren't going the way that we hoped they would go. And unexpected things happen. And it's all in the manual. It's all in the Bible. It's all in there. And there's no reason to freak out. And so this morning, really, I have a simple mission. You know, we always kind of talk about when I meet with the prayer team, what's the win for today? What's the win? What's the mission? What do we want to see happen today? And it's really just to get as many of us as possible to read the Bible. And, you know, I'm not exaggerating when I say that it can change your life. And will change your life if you read it and apply it. And it's gonna change your life. It's going to cause you to grow. It's going to help you stand strong when the unexpected come. And so we're going to talk about that. But first, really quick, let's pray, all right? God, we love you, and we thank you for your word. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you would illuminate your word to us, that you would lead us. God, we need you. Help us to be people of the book, you know, people of prayer and people of your word. God, if we have those two things right there, wow, mind blown, how we can stand. And advance your kingdom. And so, Lord, just let your word come alive in us today. Let it transform us. Lord, it's not just information, it's transformation. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I wanted to start off by talking about Jesus' own words about his words. And so, Jesus had something to say about his own words. in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, and it says this: anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is... anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds his house on a solid rock, an unbreakable rock, right? And then as he says, though the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, right? Like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Wow. So even Jesus is saying 2,000 years ago, he's looking out and he sees us today and he sees you and he sees me and he sees our culture and he goes, hey, do what I tell you to do. Get into my word and do it. And if you do it, you'll be wise. Because guess what? What's one guarantee that we have in life? Hard times are going to come. Right? Everybody say death and taxes. But, you know, you can add to that. Hard times, difficult times are going to come. People in your life are going to get sick. People are going to abandon you. Right? People will die. And, you know, all sorts of... the list of awful things that can happen to you is endless. So why not know the manual so that you can stand strong through those hard times? In this world, you're going to have suffering, right? Jesus promised, it was a promise. In this world, you'll have suffering. But take heart. He said, I've overcome the world. So we know the word, we can stand strong. So remember this, if you remember anything else, remember this. A life built on God's words is a life that will stand. A life built on God's words is a life that will stand. Do you know, even people who don't believe in God, even people who don't put their faith in Jesus Christ will acknowledge the wisdom of the Bible. And they'll live by those principles because they've seen it effective in their life. Isn't that crazy? I've read like personal finance books. Guys who, as far as I know, aren't even Christians. They're like, yeah, do what the Bible says. You know, be generous to others. Be patient with others. And they've noticed that it made a difference in their life, even though they don't even really believe. But they're saying these words are incredibly wise. When we build our life on God's words, it's going to be a life that stands, and especially when hard times come. If you want to be unbreakable, build your life on God's word. All of us build our life on words. Every one of us build our life on words. Did you know that? Like, I grew up in a family that seemed to have no shortage of pithy sayings. Did any of your families have pithy sayings growing up? I mean, you know, we all know people that, like, you know, think they have the answer to all the world's problems, but can't even run their own lives, right? You kind of stand around and you hear people talk. And everyone, you know, we have words with pithy sayings, things like that. I remember my grandfather, whenever, you know, it seemed like every meal, every time we sat down to eat together, he'd go, it's good for what ails you. And if you haven't got it, it'll give it to you. Well, I don't really know what that means. And I don't know why that is a wise saying or why he felt the need to repeat that every time we ate something. But, you know, just different things. My dad used to say, he'd say, there's two things that are bad for the heart. And, you know, we all remember these things that, you know, that our parents say or whatever. And, you know, my dad wasn't a believer, but I always felt like this was good advice. He'd say, there's two things that are bad for the heart, running upstairs and running down people. And I'd say, oh, that is good. It is good. It is good. But, you know, he would say things like, you know, working with your hands is honest man's work. Any of your parents ever say stuff like that? Working with your hands is honest man's work. You can't trust a guy who works in an office. He'd say that. He was a union man. You could tell that, right? Yes, he was a union man. You can't trust a guy who works in the office. Working with your hands. And so, you know, we all kind of grow up hearing those things, don't we? You know, family and relatives giving us these little, you know, blue-collar proverbs that we kind of grow up and we attach ourselves to. What, you don't think I say things like that? Okay, all right. So, you know, we grow up, but we all build our lives on words. We all build our lives on the things that we hear, on the words that are spoken to us. And whether we do it intentionally or not, we do it. And unfortunately, they're not always the wisest words. You know, if we think of some of the things that have said that have been said to us. I remember one time my dad said, you can't trust a woman's tears. Who said that's true? Somebody just said that's true. Vince. You know, he said, you can't trust a woman's tears. You can trust a man's tears, but you can't trust a woman's tears. You can't trust a woman's tears because they're always crying. He'd say, so, well, okay, you know, should I trust them? I mean, are the tears speaking to me? Are the tears telling me to do something? I didn't get it. And so, you know, but we all kind of build our lives on these things, and they're not always the wisest words. They don't always steer us in the right direction. You know, we've all been told things that just aren't true. Who to trust, who not to trust, how to handle it when somebody is coming against us, or is being a bully to us. You just can't always trust those things. They're not always the wisest. And they may not lead us to God's best. You know, I think we're all really honest about the words that maybe we've kind of built our lives on. Sometimes they're just not always God's best. That's why we have God's words in Scripture, because they lead us to what's best. And so there's so many, there's varying opinions about how life should be led and how circumstances should be handled, all those things. But if we go to the Word, that's what's best. That's what's best. And that's why we need to know it. And so God leads us to what's best. And so I want to just take a couple minutes, and it'll be a short message this morning, but I want to talk a little bit about you know, ways that we can grow in God's Word so that we can become more unbreakable, so that we can stand when the rain comes, when the floodwaters come, so when the winds beat against us. And it's just so important. So I want us to be people of prayer and people of God's Word, right? Does that sound good to you guys? Look alive, people. Look alive. Okay? Stay awake. So the first thing is this, and this comes as no surprise at all. Read it every day. Read it every day. Right? Or most days. Everyone talked about that. Read it every day or most days. Consistency is so key. Just like anything really valuable in your life, consistency is key. If you're exercising, consistency is key. If you're going to go on, you know, like a whole foods diet, and you're going to transform your body through your diet, consistency is key. It's not enough to eat one salad a month, right? Consistency is key. And so in prayer, consistency is key. And God's Word, consistency is key. It's so important that we make it a part of our lives. And you know, just like you guys would probably, most of you would never leave the house without brushing your teeth. But anybody here ever leave the house without brushing your teeth in the last week? In the last week? Really? Okay. Hey, now I know. Now I know what it is I smelled this morning. Forget it, Dan. It's not happening. You're not getting any lip. You know, most of us would never think about leaving the house without brushing our teeth, right? And I think that if we kind of just developed that same thought and that same philosophy about just a little time in God's Word, just a little time in prayer, it's just like, you know what? I can't leave the house, man, without doing those things. And it's so important. You know that a lot of times the biggest pushback I get when I talk about spiritual disciplines, and this is really what this Unbreakable series is all about, spiritual disciplines. The biggest pushback that I get in spiritual disciplines is, I just don't have the time. I just don't have. And you know what? I think that I just don't have the time has become just almost like a regurgitatory phrase. Am I saying that right? We just kind of say it without even thinking about it. I just don't have the time. I just don't have the time. And, you know, I get it. Some people work at 4 a.m. Then, you know, you might have time in the evening or whatever. But, you know, the average Facebook user spends 24 to 32 minutes a day on Facebook. 24 to 32 minutes a day. You know what? 24 to 32 minutes is just the right time for devotions. It really is. I mean, 24, if you can, you know, 24 to 32 minutes, a little time in prayer, a little time in God's Word, and man, you have built yourself a solid foundation. Man, you are ready when the storms come. 24 to 32 minutes a day. You know, in that amount of time, really, in 24 to 32 minutes a day, a person could read the entire Bible in 1 year. That's about how long it would take to read the Bible in a year. And you know, I said it last week, but I'll say it again. You know, If it's not important to us, we find excuses, and if it's important to us, we find the time, right? If something's important to you, you find the time, and if it's not, you find excuses. And so that's, you know, I know, don't I sound like such a hard-nosed dude when I say that? But, you know, it's just, okay, I'm not going to get into cultural attitudes right now. I'm going to talk about the Word. So you can read 5 minutes a day. You can read five, you know what? Cover the kids' ears. But I knew a guy who kept a Bible on the back of the toilet and read through it every year. Right? I mean, hey, I mean, that's a lot better than trolling Facebook for a couple of minutes. But he read through the Bible in a year, just keeping a Bible on the back of the toilet. Why not, right? It's five, just read a verse or two. It's more important that you build the daily habit of Scripture into your life than it is to spend like an hour reading it and then not read it again for a month. And so it gets in you. It becomes a part of you. It changes you. Just, you know, it's a daily practice that just gets in you. And so don't let this idea of reading, you know, Scripture overwhelm you. It's not about going, I'm going to sit down for an hour and a half every day. I'm going to get out the old Thompson's Reference Chain Bible. I'm going to get out the Strong's Concordance. I'm going to pull out the Matthew Henry Commentary. I'm going to sit there every day. Ryan's over like, that sounds like a good afternoon. Yeah. You know, and that's good, and I hope that you get there. But if that's your goal to do every day, you know how long you're going to do that every day? Like 2 days, right? But if your goal is, yeah, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. I'm going to read a section. I'm going to do maybe one chapter a day. You'll do it. You'll stick with it. And so make it a daily habit so that it gets in you. If you're a poor reader, and some people are just poor readers. Some people have dyslexia. Some people are poor readers. Then you know what? You can listen to it every day. There is an app put out by Alpha, the Alpha Bible app. And you get to hear the soothing voice of Nicky Gumbel talk to you about the Word of God in his wonderful British accent. And then you get to have it narrated to you, and you can listen through the Bible in a year. And it's wonderful, and it's free. It's free. You can download the Bible app, and that's free as well. And you can just choose, and they have it like an automated voice read it to you. It's not quite as nice, but it's there. Is he in there too? Nicky Gumbel's in the Bible? Who doesn't love Nicky Gumbel? You'd have to be a communist. And so it's a wonderful thing. So if you're a poor reader, you can just listen to it for free on a Bible app on your phone. And so there's so many options. The point is there's so many options that we literally live in a world where there's just no excuse for not experiencing the Bible on a regular basis. There really isn't. You know, the only way that, you know, with the world that we live in, the only way that we do not experience the Bible is simply that we choose not to. That's really the only way, because there's so many options, there's so many things, there's so many ways that we can experience the Bible. The only way really to not experience the Bible in the culture that we live in is that we choose not to. And it's so important that we choose to do it. And just like the greatest benefit of exercise comes when we do it every day, the greatest benefits of Scripture come when we read it every day. Every day. And so let's kick it up a notch. I want to encourage you in something. I've talked about this before, actually probably twice before, where we've sort of walked through this. But I want to tell you something that I like to do sometimes, and that's a soap journal. Anybody here remember me talking about soap journal before? Yes. It's really, really cool. And so and so when you can, you've heard me talk about soap journaling before, and really this is, it's super easy. It's not a big deal. It's not, you don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to get out the old Thompson's Reference Chain. You don't have to. You can if you want, but you don't have to. And so so all you do is do this. You grab a notebook and a pen or a notebook app and your fingers. It's up to you. I like to use a notebook and a pen. You just grab a notebook and a pen, and then you open up your Bible to wherever you're reading next, and you read like a few verses. I like to read a chapter, okay? So everybody's like, man, he's a pastor. He must be in the Word hours. You know, I read a chapter a day. Yeah. I don't read it in a year. It takes me a couple years to get through it. I read about 3 years, to be exact, to get through it. So I read a chapter a day. So you pull out your Bible, you read your chapter or your section or whatever it is, and when something just sort of like jumps out at you, you ever been reading the Bible and something just kind of jumps out at you? Yeah? You're like, I like that. Or that's kind of meaningful. Or I wonder what that means. Right? So just, we have different things, but sometimes a verse will just kind of go, pop, you know, maybe the Holy Spirit will just highlight it to you. It's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to illuminate Scripture to you. And so it's always great when you open your Bible and you go, okay, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Illuminate this to me. And so something comes out and I'll grab my highlighter, or if I'm reading it on my phone or whatever, I'll just highlight it with my finger, and I highlight that verse that popped out to me. So everybody following me so far? Okay. And that's when I choose my benefits for the following year. I'm just kidding. Just seeing if you're paying attention. So I highlight that scripture. Then I get out the notebook, right? So I get out the notebook and the pen, and that verse, I write it out. So I take that verse and I write it out. You know, a lot of times we take, when we write out a verse and we write out something like that, it even kind of helps to bring it deeper. It kind of helps to, you know, wrap our mind around it a little bit more, or helps us to focus on those words just a little bit more. So I'll write out that verse, and that is S. That's the S of soap, Scripture. So I've found a Scripture, I've highlighted it, and I've written it out. And so I just write out the verse. Underneath that, in my notebook, underneath the verse that I just wrote out, I'll write an observation. Oh, and soap, right? So the O in soap is observation. So that's my observation. So if I have a verse that jumps out at me, and maybe it's this one that we just read, maybe it's, say, Matthew 7:24-27, maybe I wrote that out, and my observation might be that I need to continue to build that foundation on what Jesus said, on the words of the gospel. So that might be my observation. Okay, that if I do that, that my observation would be, if I continue to build my life on the gospel, that it will stand, but if I don't, it's foolishness, and what I try to build for the kingdom or accomplish in my life is going to be swept away. All right, so that might be my observation of that scripture. Y'all follow me so far? Yeah? All right, good. Hang in there with me. All right? So the next part, after I write the observation underneath that, and we're talking about a sentence or two. I'm not talking about writing a novel here, guys. Okay? So some people get overwhelmed, like, what? Page after page? I don't have time for that. No. One sentence. Two sentences. Okay? And then after the observation, I might write the application. So the A in soap is application. In other words, how does that apply to my life? Okay? And so, here we go. Let's go back to this Matthew scripture. My observation was, if I follow the words of Jesus, then I will stand. But if I don't, then I won't. All right? The application might be, I'm going through something in my life right now. And I have a choice to respond to that thing biblically or not. Okay? So my application might be, I'll just give you an example, in business. So I have a business that I'm launching, and my business partner trusts me explicitly, like so much. And I love that. I love that, trust me. But I might be tempted to go, be a little fuzzy on the numbers with him. Because literally, he trusts me to take all this money that comes in and give him half of it. But he doesn't know how much comes in. So I might be tempted. There might be some areas in my life where there's some blind spots where I'm tempted in working with this guy. There may be some areas in my life where I might want to slough off. Or there might be some areas in this where there's some temptation involved with it. And so the application would be, I need to continue to apply God's word to this business every day, even when temptation comes. Okay? So I'm making an application here. And so whatever it is that you're going through in your life in that moment that you can apply that to, write that application down. So that's the application. So in my context here, the scripture is in Matthew. The observation is that I need to build my life on what God says. The application is I have some areas and I can see some potential blind spots maybe or some temptations coming up, and I need to apply God's word in that so that I don't fall into those temptations. You all following me now? Okay. Good. The rest of you, you are going to have the worst deductible you've ever had. So that would be the application. And then the last part, the P in soap, is just writing out a short prayer. It's just prayer. So you have your scripture, your observation, your application, and the prayer. And the prayer, again, just a couple sentences. You don't need to go a whole page, 2 pages, 3 pages. If you don't want to, don't have time to. Your prayer could simply be, God, help me to always follow your word in this business. Help me to build it all on you. Build my life on you. And all you're doing is writing a short prayer concerning that scripture, that observation, and that application. Is anybody learning something about studying the Bible today? Good, okay? This is just really super easy, practical stuff. This is stuff that, this is stuff you can teach your children to do, you know? And I expect you to start doing this tomorrow, okay? Because you're my children. My other children is back there. Paying attention, Cole? All right, good. I will test you on this later, son. And so we're going to wrap this up, but what I really, really want for you guys is to be able to stand. What I really, really want is that. What I really, really want is to see you guys build a foundation on God's word, is to be people of prayer, be people of God's word. Because it takes, you know how life kind of goes like this? It takes it and it kind of makes it more like this. Right? And we're able to stand when those things come. And so I want you to be able to stand. I want you to have peace. I want you to have confidence when unexpected come. You know, when you lose your job, I want you to be able to stand. When somebody rejects you, I want you to be able to stand. When hard times come and sickness comes, I want you to be able to stand. Because they're going to come, okay? I want you to read the manual so that you'll know what to do. And so here's what I want. I just want to issue a little challenge. I mean, 2018 is almost over. I can't believe it. I can't even believe I hear myself saying those words, 2018. I'm still writing 2017 on my checks. But it's almost over. And so I want to challenge you to just read at least one verse a day. Just at a minimum. One verse a day for the rest of 2018. It's literally something that can be done in less than a minute. Okay? And I just want to challenge you. Put yourself a reminder in your phone to read a verse before you go to bed at night. Put yourself a reminder in your phone. You know, put a verse. I don't care. Get one of those little flip calendars that has a verse a day on it. I don't care. But just read a verse a day, at least a verse a day for the rest of 2018. Okay? You know, let me do this. How many of you would take that challenge? Anybody take that challenge? Don't raise your hand if you're not going to do it. Okay? Good. Let's do it. Let's be people of the Word. All right? So why don't we do this? Let's have the worship team come. And I'm going to say a prayer. And listen, man, God can do some incredible things in your life when you become a person of His Word. And so why don't you guys just stand with me? Let me pray for you. God, I just want to thank you today, Heavenly Father, for your word. I want to thank you, God, that you loved us enough and love us enough to leave a manual for us. Lord, we don't want to be those people like the Verizon employees, God, who freaked out because they didn't read the manual. We don't want to be like those people, God. We want to be people that stand and are assured, and we know your word, God, so that it becomes a part of us. Help us to be people of your word. And God, those who said, hey, I'll read at least a verse a day, every day, for the rest of 2018, God, I pray that you would give them revelation through it and wisdom through it, and that you, God, would give them boldness and courage and increase their faith through it, God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name.